Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
Turn to Philippians chapter 4 again today. Also be mindful, as the announcements earlier, again, to that there's some, we have additional slips for the angel tree if you would like to participate in that. And so right after the service today, they have additional slips, and I would that we give them all out. They're certainly not enough to go around to everybody, but everybody who would like to be involved in that, and you don't have to have the gifts back here to the 19th of the month. So just keep that in mind after the service this morning. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read a passage that we've read several weeks, and looking at verse 4 of Philippians 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men." Just look at that. The gentleness, that's an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness. Let the fruit of the Spirit, let your gentleness, let it be known to all men. It matters how we live, is what he's saying to us. And he says, it matters how you live. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Then he said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." That supplication is petitioning the Lord. We talked about that last week, petitioning the Lord in prayer, laying it out before the Lord, appealing to the nature of God and to the power of God, appealing to who he is to move in the situation. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in our hearts, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let your requests be made known to God. Let it be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And certainly we would want to have the anxieties of life replaced with peace in our mind and heart, and that's what he is saying here. But prayer is again so emphasized in this passage, and so we don't need to and should not neglect prayer in our life. It needs to be as much a part of our life as for our spiritual life as it is that we would get up and eat breakfast or lunch. That's how prevalent it should be. It should not be just when I need to pass a test. It shouldn't be just when I need to make some big decision. But in everything, with prayer, and we're to do that. We're to pray and be thankful when we're doing that. Now, the very first verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." Now, here is you. I can't even read the verse without thinking of a song. It's an old one, But it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. All right, try that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Come on. Tell your husband, say, you ain't that big of a deal. Sing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, this is the part where you can come out of your shoes. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Y'all sounded good. We're going to do it again. I'm just here to tell you. Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Y'all sounded good. Give yourself a hand. Yes, yes, y'all sounded great. Now, I want to tell you, that right there, rejoice in the Lord always. That'll make a good label to put on a mug, coffee mug. It makes for a good post and all those things. Rejoice in the Lord always. We can buy a painting or something and it's got that on there. Man, it's just perfect for that. But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. When the doctor report is not what we would like, rejoice. Are you kidding me? We're not rejoicing because of what the report says. But rejoicing in our God. We're not rejoicing for the negativity. But we're rejoicing in a God who can step into my situation. You're talking about rejoicing when I have a flat tire? Rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes. Not if it's favorable in my situation. Not if all the events are just happening in a way that really puts me in the best light. Rejoice. Now we've got to remember here that the Apostle Paul is writing from a Roman prison cell, writing to the Philippian church. He is living in negative circumstances in the way that outsiders would look at his situation. Imprisonment does not sound good to me this morning. To be hauled off in handcuffs to the county jail doesn't sound very good to me today. But there he is, the Apostle Paul, in a jail cell, telling the church in Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. Then notice it again. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. again, I say rejoice. Have you ever had to tell your kids something twice? Husband, has your wife ever had to tell you something twice? Maybe three times. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Now, we must ask ourselves about this. Why is it and how is it that the Apostle Paul thinks that we need to be rejoicing in this situation? How is he even talking about rejoicing while he's in this jail cell? And what I want us to see today, and what I want to share with you today, and I've titled this message, Praise Perspective. Praise Perspective. It's a matter of perspective. If we have the right perspective, we can praise Him. If we, again, this word perspective, it speaks to viewpoint. It speaks to the angle for which I'm looking at it, the situation. You ever been somewhere where it looked different at different angles? There was some angles you could look at the picture, or maybe the scene, a nature scene, you had a certain perspective of it, but maybe you got in a different situation and looked at the same mountain and it was breathtaking. At another viewpoint, it seemed so far away, you could not see any details of the mountains that were ahead of you. They just basically looked like clouds to you. There was a distance. But when you got to a different place and you looked at it, your perspective, your viewpoint, your angle changed, all of a sudden you could see the majesty of the view that you're looking at. Perspective. And this is what the Apostle Paul was dealing with here, was an issue of perspective. He had a perspective that he wants you and I to have. He had a perspective that the Holy Spirit who moved upon Paul in writing these words wants you and I to have. And this was the perspective that the Apostle Paul had. And I want us to look just for a moment at Philippians chapter 1. You can just turn a couple of pages. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And it'll be on the screen as well. But I want us to read this passage because this is the perspective for which Paul had. Okay? But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Do you see now? All of a sudden now when he says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice, he's saying, guys, this has turned out for the advancement of the gospel. This has turned out that the palace guard, the whole palace guard, and all the rest of the people around here, they have realized I'm in here, and they have recognized that it's Jesus Christ that's about my life, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is being spread in this prison, in this jail. This is for the furtherance of the gospel. So then we turn over to chapter 4, and he says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Then you and I say, I get it now. Why? Because we just got the perspective of praise. This is a praise perspective. Perspective that you and I need to really, we need to really think about what God is doing. We need to think about the job that we've been complaining about, and we need to start to think about how could God use me in this job for the furtherance of the gospel. How could he use me in this particular job to so that people will understand that I'm in Christ, that Jesus is the Lord of my life? How can he use me in this set of circumstances? And I like what he said in verse 5 of the Ephesians 4 when he's, and just, we'll just can go back to that passage if you would. Verse 5, he said, let your gentleness be known to all men. We would have to be, he understood that he needed to, there needed to be the character qualities of the fruit of the Spirit abounding in his life. And in this case, he says gentleness. Why? Because it's the people for which he is trying to influence with the gospel. And he's telling the Philippian church, you need to be aware of your circumstances that are surrounding your life, and you're not living just as an end unto yourself, but let your gentleness be known to all men, because the Lord is near. The Lord is going to return. The Lord is near. And so you and I should be the same way. Perspective. Perspective in the midst of pain. Perspective. What could God be doing that I would may not be aware of? And I would tell you that God is certainly working all the time. So as frustrating as a flat tire may be, could it be that the Lord may have been sparing me from something ahead? Could it be that he needs me to be in a position where I can meet somebody that's going to help me with my situation on the side of the road, where I can let the light of Jesus and my gentleness be known to all men, because the Lord is near and I might be the only way he's going to know anything about Jesus? You see, when we live our life just thinking about what it's doing to me in the moment, I'm not going to have the right perspective. But if I can think that God is somehow using my circumstances and my situation. Now I want to just go ahead and just make this clear. I'm not talking about excusing sinful behavior here that gets you into a mess. I'm talking about living out your life. Now, I believe God can turn a situation around where I made a bad decision and it put me in a bad situation, that he can turn that around for his good if I submit my ways to the Lord and make things right with God. He can do that. But that's not what I'm talking about here necessarily. That does play a role here. But what I'm talking about is in all of the things that we experience in life, that we take a different perspective than just how it affects me. Paul was thinking about how it would impact the kingdom, how he could impact those around him. He was not living merely for himself. Now listen, God wants to do wonderful things in and through our life. I believe there's many blessings that come. He cares. We've been recipients of that and of his provision in many ways and at many times. But never let us ever think that it's just about us. And therefore, we have no business being greedy, because it's not about us. We have no business living as an island unto ourselves, because it's not about us. It's not about my happiness. That's not what life is about. But it is about joy in the Lord. It is about the goodness of God and me being able to understand that. And yes, I enjoy living. And so I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, it's just, but everything is not about making Stephen feel better. That's not what's going on here. So I've got to get a right perspective about the things that are happening in my life. But it's beautiful as we look at the Philippians 1, 12 and 13. It's for the furtherance of the gospel, he says. No wonder he's talking about rejoice in the Lord. But he's also telling the church in Philippi that's not in jail, but he's explaining to them whatever circumstances you're in, if they happen to be in jail, wherever they are, understand that there's something bigger going on and God can use you for his glory that we have much to rejoice in. And when we think about what Jesus said these words, and if somebody is persecuting us, of which Paul is being persecuted for Jesus Christ. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed, Jesus said, when men revile, when men speak words of evil against you. He's saying you are blessed. Now sometimes we will, and I say we in a very general way, there's many times that Christians sometimes will just speak of anything that happens in life that is negative toward them is persecution. That is not persecution. Persecution, according to Scripture, has to do with our stand for Jesus Christ, and in that sense it is blessed, or has to do with us living for the Lord and attacks upon that living for the Lord. So sometimes just bad things happen to good people. We can't explain it. But I believe if we can take a perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can begin to grab hold of the realities of all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. It's the church. We've been the ecclesia of God. We've been called out for his purpose, and we love him. And he will work on our behalf to bring about a good plan, and he will accomplish many wonderful things. And so I want to get a right perspective. In fact, Paul is saying, get a praise perspective. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, this was not his first rodeo. This was not the Apostle Paul's first trip to the jail. There were other occasions for that. And I want to just point to the story. You can turn there or you can just look on the screen with me. But to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we have a story where he and Silas have been out ministering, and there was one that had been following them who really had evil powers working in her life, in telling fortunes and things like that, that was the demonic work of Satan in her life. And she had been following them around and whatever, but the scripture tells us in Acts 16 that there were handlers for this young lady, meaning they owned her and they made money off of all of her sorcery. They made money. So she was a source of income for them, having this demonic power at work within her. Well, here the Apostle Paul, Silas, we know was with him, whoever else might have been. They got tired of how the enemy was taking advantage of her. They got tired of the experience that what they had going on around them. They knew this woman needs freedom. And they prayed over her, and this woman was set free from this demonic work in her life. Now guess what happens? The people that are making money off of her sorcery, they are ticked off. They're mad. Because they just lost their source of income that they had been depending on. And so they were saying, we're going to take some legal action here. And so they brought them before a judge. And what we see happen is that Paul and Silas get beat down. I want us to look at chapters, Acts 16, 22 is on the screen. Then the multitude rose up. It wasn't just what the magistrates and those that were involved. It said the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, those that were working in the legal authorities, and commanded them to be beaten with rods. So we have multitudes of people that had gathered in that area, a number of people that we can't count, and the Bible didn't tell us how many it was, but it was more than we would just look around the room and count. There was a multitude of people that gathered, and here what happens is they get beaten with rods. The following verses say they were put into prison. There was a prison guard that was given instructions. They were taken into a deep inner jail of that prison. They locked their feet down and so they could not even function outside a small little area. And I can just imagine this hard floor of some type that they're in, cold. I don't know what time of year it was, but whatever the case is, they don't have their clothing with them probably. At least they might have been at this point maybe with some rags, but I just picture that they have dried blood on them. They've not been cleaned up in any way. They're bruised. They're battered hard. They've been beaten. They're inside this prison, and they're just left there, and physically they are experiencing the pains of being beaten. Look at verse 25 and 26. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. You remember what he said in Philippians about the furtherance of the gospel? And about in chapter 1, and about the palace guard hearing about that they were there because of Jesus Christ. And it had impacted the rest of them as well in that jail. Now look here. Here we go. He says, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. This happens at midnight, as they decided to pray. Now just picture that for a moment. Just picture they're on this floor. They've been laying there in their pain. Listen, these were human beings. They didn't have a halo on their head. that they were in pain. They had been beaten with rods. They had cuts and bruises, and they had been bleeding, and they were right there in that prison cell and with nothing to put on themselves that would bring healing, no ointments, you can be sure. And there they were. And just have this picture where maybe Paul says, Silas, let's pray and sing a little bit. He might have said, you remember when we was in jail before? Listen, I don't know when his first trip to jail was. But anyway, he's going, hey, you think we ought to sing and pray a little bit? I believe that's the right move. It's midnight. How you feeling, Silas? How do you think I'm feeling, Paul? Man, I wish we could get Joshua to lead us a song or something. Paul, you don't sing that good. We're going to sing, guys. But come on. I imagine there were some others in there with them. I don't know. We don't know all the circumstances, but we know that Paul and Silas were there. And in the midst of their cuts and bruises and bleeding and pain, I can just imagine maybe they began to sing some song that they knew. I promise you they didn't have hymn books that we have. They had their hymn books, their Jewish hymn books, and they had their book of Psalms, and there's hymns in the Psalms, there's other things in the Psalms. But they began to sing praise unto their God. They began to sing and glorify the name of the Lord. I can see them as they would stop and pray and start talking to the Lord. Then they might sing some more. They might sing some more. Might sing some more. I can just hear them. Maybe they picked up that psalm and said, "Fear thou not." This is modern day tune of the verse. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Maybe he said, you know, why don't we do that other one over there, Paul? Oh, you're talking about this one? "Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Come on, Silas. "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And then there was an earthquake. The God of heaven caused the earth to tremble. It says there that the prison doors were flung open and their bonds and chains were loosed off of them. It was such a horrific event that the jailer was so shaken that he thought, it was like he had become disoriented from the earthquake. And he thought all of his prisoners had escaped on him. He even was going to just fall on his own weapon to take his own life. Because somebody else would end up killing him anyway if the prisoners escaped. And Paul said, "We right here, no need to do that. We didn't go anywhere." But I notice here that in that prison experience, there was a loosening. Following the earthquake, there was a relocation. They did not escape, but they were relocated, because we read the following parts of the verse. That jailer, that guard, got saved. His whole household got saved and experienced the power of God of salvation at work in their life. So there was a release there and a relocation, a change of scenery. God had moved for him. But I noticed they could have ran out of there. They could have just escaped, but they didn't do it. Why? Because the work of God wasn't through. Some of you might could remove yourself from the job that you're in, but God might not be through with you on that job. I don't know why I said that, but God does. They stayed around. They were not through. There was a work to be done yet in that place. Now I want us to go now to, he's in this Roman prison cell writing these words in Philippians. In this particular instance, there doesn't appear to be any release from him in that Philippian jail. He doesn't describe in that Philippian jail necessarily any kind of earthquake or anything like that. In fact, he's in prison writing, and he's doing the ministry of the epistles that he's writing that have impacted us unto this moment, this morning. The Word of God is still being powerfully used in our life, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of the Lord shall remain. That was the work that was being done in that prison cell, and God did not see fit at that moment to remove him out of that prison cell. What I want to tell you, we need to have a perspective of praise like Paul did, that even sometimes he removes us out of the situation when we praise. There's other times when we praise, he keeps us right where we are because he's concerned with the further of the gospel and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Christ in us, the hope of glory, being able to impact this world that is around us. May God help us to have a different perspective and to praise him when we're released, and praise him when we're not released. Praise him when things turn around, and praise him when they don't turn around. Praise him in the pain, and praise him when we are free from pain. There it is. That's the perspective he wants us to have. See, there's some things we can. God uses praise. He uses praise. You see, and he uses circumstances in that, but he wants us to learn from these things that we go through. But I want to tell you, there's some things we need to remember about praise this morning. I want you to look with me. It'll be on the screen. Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42 verse 5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So we are to praise him for the help of his countenance. Listen, we are to understand that when we praise him, he lifts us up. He's saying, don't be cast down. Don't be downhearted. Know this. He said, I'll help you. You can hope in God. So whatever you may be going through, know this. We're to praise the Lord. We're to praise him. Yeah, it says, hope in God, for I shall praise him. I shall praise him. Notice that again. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And so we need to understand praise. His praise will lift up. He'll lift us up. There's hope. In a world sometimes, if you're not careful, we'll get caught up in hopelessness and hopeless talk and hopeless living. Hope in God. Pick your head up. He'll begin to praise him and he'll lift up your countenance. I want us to look at Psalm 22 verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. This is where a lot of times you will hear people say God inhabits the praises of his people. That's where they're getting that from. If you do a word search on that, unless it's some modern version that's maybe a paraphrase or something, you won't see it in that way. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Well, God inhabits the praises of his people. So I want us to see that praise invites the presence of the Lord in our life. And so you and I need to understand that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When we're praising him in that manner, it invites the presence of the Lord in the midst of our situation. And we'll find in that praise that he lifts us up and lifts our countenance up as well. And then I want us to see Psalm 40 verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Do you notice that? It's the same thing. Those in the jailer, he's heard about Jesus. The palace guard has all heard about Jesus. The rest of them, why he was over there in prison, he said, here, put a new song in my mouth. That's what was happening at midnight over there in that prison. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And when we praise the Lord, other people are impacted by it. Other people will get to see what God is doing and they'll get to experience the presence of the Lord when you and I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He works through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. For my God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they are powerless behind you when you praise him. Praise the Lord. He works through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. For my God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they are powerless behind you when you praise him. Would you just praise the Lord in this place? If you just lift your hands toward heaven all over this room this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you, O God. Praise you. Praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. We magnify your name, oh God. We glorify your name, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. We praise you, oh God. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't know what you may be encountering, experiencing in life right now. There's so many things in this world, in this life. Some catch us off guard. Sometimes we see them coming, seems like a mile away. But whatever the case is, whatever the situation is, if you have something specific that you're thinking about right now that you've been dealing with, would you just stand to where you are on your feet right now? Just stand where you are. Hallelujah, Jesus. He knows. He understands. Could be health. Could be a financial situation. Could be a relational issue and you're hurting today. I want you to praise through your pain in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. May just be it's indecision. Things, decisions that you may need to make, but there's indecision. You're having difficulty making decisions. I want to encourage you to praise the Lord. For he'll work in your life and through you. Again, it's not just about us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we just come to you right now. As these are gathered in this room standing, there are specific things that are on their heart and mind right now. Some of it, Lord, is scary. And it's caused fear. But Lord, as they cast their care upon you and this anxiety and worry upon you and pray, lay it at your feet. I want to encourage you this morning that are going through that. Would you just praise the Lord? Would you praise the Lord? Would you just praise the Lord? Would you lift your hands and say, Lord, I praise you. Because Lord, I believe you're working on my behalf. I praise you. Lord, in this circumstance, I praise you in this situation, God. I'm going to praise you through the storm. I'm going to praise you in the midst of the attack. I'm going to praise you in the moments of chaos. I'm going to praise you in the moments, Lord, where I don't know where to turn or exactly what to do. Lord, I'm at my wit's end, God. I praise you in the midst of that, dear Father. I lift my eyes above my circumstances. God, I put my eyes upon you, oh God, and I'm praising you today, believing, Lord, that you, God, are working and moving on my behalf, and that, Lord, it's going to be that will bring praise and glory to you, and Lord, it'll impact others, God, in the name of Jesus, for your glory and for your honor. So we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would everybody stand with me this morning?
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.